Our New Testament reading for today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. Listen for the word of God. Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." This is the word of the Lord. When I was a boy, my father used to bake bread on Saturday mornings, about every other Saturday each month. And he would involve me in the baking. My dad taught me how to make homemade bread as a little boy, and I've never forgotten. He would come into the kitchen of the old manse in Pennsylvania on Saturday, and I would give up watching cartoons that morning, or Zorro, or whatever it was that we were watching back then. And he would go over to the kitchen table where we ate. It was a big kitchen. And he put out his tablecloth, and we'd get ready to make bread together. Dad had a bread maker. Does anybody have one of these bread makers? The 1903 St. Louis Exposition patented bread maker. You know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. It looks like basically a steel milking can. But it has a vise on the bottom of it that you can clamp to the table so it doesn't move. And it has a big snake-like stir that fits down inside and a great big long crank on it. On the end of the crank is a black wooden ball. And the crank goes round and round and round, and that was my job, and I loved it. I loved making bread with my dad. So each Saturday he would get out the flour and the water and the yeast, a little bit of sugar. And I would turn and turn that bread maker 10, 15 minutes or more. And then when it was ready, he'd take that glop of dough and he would fashion it into a ball. And he put it in a great big yellow bowl that belonged to his mother. A bowl that looked very much like this one, which came from Barry Winger, our organist. And it belonged to his mother, or maybe your grandmother, Barry. But that was the kind of bowl that Dad would bring out. And then we'd have to wait. And 10-year-old boys don't like to wait. But bread, you can't rush the making of bread. Bread functions on its own time. You don't force bread to function at your time. You have to adapt. You have to learn how to wait. Don't you think the best things in life are worth waiting for? Well, homemade bread is one of those best things. So after a half an hour had passed, or maybe close to an hour, things would be ready. And Dad, he'd take a look at the dough, and he'd nod and he'd smile because the dough had risen. And then he would dump it out onto the table and begin to go to work. The kneading of the dough. Kneading. Can you say that word with me? It has a K in front of it. Kneading, okay? But you say it, kneading. Dad was a small man. He wasn't more than 5'7½. He had the black hair, blue eyes, and the sonorous voice of a Welshman. But his hands were square and strong and honest, and I would watch them as he kneaded the bread, as he rolled his knuckles into the dough, folded it back, and kneaded it again. It didn't take me very long as a little boy to realize that Dad had a lot on his mind on Saturday mornings. He was a Presbyterian minister back in the 1960s, and there was an awful lot going on, and people in his congregation were upset about one thing or another. You know, the war in Vietnam, civil rights, those darn hippies with their flowers and their music. And then, of course, the congregation with their joys and their sorrows. And he would come close to those joys and sorrows as their pastor. Sometimes we wouldn't make bread on Saturday because there'd be a funeral hearse across the street at the church. And Dad would have a funeral to do. And I knew he thought about these things as he kneaded the dough. And sometimes those fists would come in pretty hard. And other times he was very gentle, almost caressing, as he handled the dough. And the thing about the dough is the more that he kneaded it, it began to change. It became more elastic, responsive, almost alive, as if it had its own distinct identity. I followed in my father's footsteps, became a Presbyterian pastor myself. 50 years later, people are still pretty much upset over pretty much the same things they were back then. Something's going on that's got somebody upset. And people have the same joys and the sorrows that they did back then too, as living their lives, sickness and health and loss and mourning. I understand that better now, as a pastor myself. And as I bake bread, I've come to realize that you can't do this with half a heart. You gotta put your whole heart into this. It's bread. You gotta put everything in. So when I work the bread, I think about my family and friends. I think about their joys and their successes, birthdays and graduations. And I also grieve with their sorrows and their sufferings, and the sufferings of this world in which we live in. And my lament goes into the bread, the pummel and roll, the pummel and roll. As I think about life, and I think about the people I love, and like a prayer, it all goes in to the kneading of the bread. Our Lord Jesus understood bread. When he traveled from village to village through the verdant hills of Galilee, the people were kneading him, weren't they? The sick and the lame, the blind and the diseased, they all called out, "Master, have mercy on us." And he did. He did have mercy. But it came at a cost. The cost of loving, carrying their burdens, taking them into his heart. His followers weren't much better. Filled with questions, seeking wisdom and knowledge, they followed him from village to village. They were skeptical, doubtful, confused by his teaching, but he was patient with them, teaching them about how the poor become rich and the last will be first. He never stopped doing that, teaching and loving them to the very end. And then there were his enemies, the scribes and the Pharisees, the high priests, the Herodians. They all wanted to do him in. And you know, they finally got that done, didn't they? With the help of the Romans and the betrayal of one of his own, they pummeled and rolled him, they pummeled and rolled him, they pummeled and they rolled him. And then they took a rolling pin and they nailed him. They flattened him. They flattened him. That's what they did. You know, they bundled him into a tomb that night, rolled a rock in front of it, and they thought it was over and done, never to return. But dough has a way of rising again, as does love. The scriptures say in the Old Testament that love is strong as death. Its flames are flashes of fire, a raging flame. But the gospel says that love is stronger than death. And that in the fire of God's holy love, what was dead became alive. And the dough became bread. It's not the same, and yet it is. One comes from the other, but bread isn't dough. Bread is meant to be eaten. Bread is meant to be shared, which is exactly what Dorothy Chandler has done for us this morning with this bread that she has lovingly made and baked and brought to this house today for us to share together. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry." What must we do to receive the bread that doesn't perish? Jesus already told us. What must you do to receive this bread? What must you do? You must trust and believe. You must love and receive. Because he said, "This is my body. It's given for you. Take, eat." Let's pray. Gracious Lord, as we take and eat this bread, your body, with sisters and brothers numbering in the billions across the globe today, may we know again the power of your love. May we understand that you take all that this world is and all that we are into yourself, and through the power of your resurrection, you change it. You transform us, and we are filled with resurrection life. Lord, we hunger for this bread, the bread of heaven. May we take of it, and may we share it for the sake and in the name of Jesus, the bread of life, crucified and risen. Amen.